Scott Spencer's latest novel is called A Ship Made of Paper. It gets its odd title from an old song called Just to Be With You, with lyrics like, "On a ship that's made of paper, I would sail the seven seas." Book critic Maureen Corrigan says that Spencer's novel makes you feel the heroism and the futility of those lines.
Long before extreme adventure tales became such a hot literary genre, novelist Scott Spencer was charting perfect storms of the heart. His most famous novel, Endless Love, describes teenage passion run amok. Reading Endless Love is like sitting in the eye of a hormonal hurricane and watching as ripped pillows, bloodied bedsheets, and the broken psyches of the two young lovers swirl madly around you. But though the love stories Spencer describes are typically out of control, his writing never is. He's such a precise and lyrical writer that feelings, experienced but possibly never expressed in language before, materialize in his words. It took me an unusually long time to read Spencer's wonderful new novel, A Ship Made of Paper, because I kept rereading sentences, savoring the shock of their insights, delaying, I guess, what I knew would be the inevitable discovery at story's end of the wreckage of his latest expedition into the thin air of peak emotional experience. When we first meet the main character here, 36-year-old Daniel Emerson, he foolishly thinks he's retreated from danger. Formerly a socially conscious lawyer in New York City, Daniel, who's white, was beaten up by some black kids working for a client whom he failed to save from jail. Badly shaken, Daniel moves back to his quaint hometown of Leyden in upstate New York, along with his lover Kate, a novelist, and her 4-year-old daughter, Ruby, whom Daniel adores. But this escape into the quiet life boomerangs when Daniel develops a colossal crush on Iris Davenport, who's also one of the few black residents of Leyden and whose son is Ruby's best friend. Issues of race run throughout this book. It's the autumn of the OJ trial, and black-white relations are on everyone's mind. And because we readers enter into every principal character's mind here, we're privy to the knee-jerk prejudices, fears, and fantasies members of each race harbor about the other. We also learn pretty early in the story that Iris shyly reciprocates Daniel's desire. But their feelings are kept in check until one afternoon in October, when nature decides to conspire with the unconsummated lovers. A freak mammoth snowstorm hits Leyden, and because the trees still have their leaves, the weight of the snow snaps them in two all over the countryside, downing power lines, blotting out roads, and isolating Daniel and Iris together at her house after she's picked up the two kids early from their daycare center. They kiss, they couple, and then the sky really begins to fall down. Iris's husband, Hampton, a stockbroker who works during the week in the city, suspects that something's going on, but his self-regard is so towering that he can barely admit that Iris might be cheating. Kate, who's ironic, brittle, and drinks too much, is also not a naturally endearing victim. Such is the brilliance of Spencer's storytelling, though, that you feel degrees of sympathy for all these characters, felled, like the trees, by a blizzard out of nowhere. In this passage late in the novel, for instance, Daniel, who's still living with Kate, gazes at her at a party. As he describes his diminished feelings for her, I think Spencer astonishingly manages to make our emotional allegiances ricochet from Kate to Daniel and finally back to Kate again. She is wearing a black skirt, flattering and tight, a bolero jacket, clip-on pearl earrings. Her hands are on her hips. She looks lithe, high-spirited. If he didn't know her, he would want to. How strange it feels not to love her. That love had once felt so stable, dependable. Its very lack of drama made it feel eternal. And now, to feel so little, to feel almost nothing outside of respect and a desire not to hurt her too badly, is like waking up one morning and finding that you can no longer enjoy the taste of bread. Just when you think these characters simply can't go on in this tumult of misery any longer, a horrible accident occurs that pretty much freezes them into place. Because of the accident, all that snow, and of course all the wretched passion in this tale, I have a hunch Spencer may have intended Ship Made of Paper to be a black-white retelling of that grandmother of all American over-the-top illicit love stories, Edith Wharton's Ethan Frome. If so, it's a stunning contemporary literary companion piece. Like Ethan, Daniel is a man who risks all for one dizzying ride of a lifetime, and then finds himself stuck headfirst, flailing in a snowbank, a heroic fool of fortune and stormy weather.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed A Ship Made of Paper by Scott Spencer.